get bored. Next up on the docket will be Mr. Schleyer. I'm sorry, I'll use his proper name, Mr. Schmann.
I'll bring it right back. Do you have it?
Is it on?
Yeah. You guys all done? Mm-hmm. My name is Amitai Schleyer, GS class of 2009. My real name is Schmann. Fine. My husband was in there like a kumquat. Or explosion at the poem factory. Or 364 days without a lost rhyme accident. Or St. Elmo's fife. Or it's definitely one of these titles. We haven't conclusively determined which quite yet. But don't worry, forensic poets are already on the scene and we'll be sure to keep you posted. Or this just in, it's not the 5-1. Poetry is like sausage. Venison villanelles, saucisson cestinas, Braunschweiger ballades, kielbasa couplets, pure pork pastorelles. We simply go to the butcher shop and point to what we want. The summer sausage and the sunshine patriot ale. Some say it is best for fullest enjoyment not to know how our poems are prepared. We hear the glorious end result and imagine the ink, the sweat, the blood, the eyeballs, the gizzards, the salvaged anuses. Can't even read that. That went into it. But only metaphorically. Today, we are reminded that it is all too real. For today, in a quiet neighborhood unaccustomed to strife, tragedy has hungrily struck. It is true that the great poems of canon are wrought by artists of the highest order, artists willing to sacrifice for every gleaming word their ink, their sweat, their blood, and occasionally their other stuff. Yet those exalted poems are but a small sliver of the poetic ecosystem. We could not have our teeming multitudes of lesser poems were they wrought artisanally. Today we must come full facial with the very real, very human, and very dead real humans who have given us so much. In a bygone era, we would have lost our local poemsmith and his trusty apprentice, and would have relied on monthly shipments of scrawled parchment by horse from the Bronx. A great loss, to be sure, but we would have overcome. Changing economic conditions forced the poem manufacturing industry to consolidate and outsource to former British colonies with proportionally fewer white people. So it was a real point of pride when Amalgamated Verse and Strophe decided to build a poem factory right here in Morningside Heights, despite knowing full well that a handful of conscientious objectors would vocally oppose the move. In its first year, the factory brought jobs and economic stability to the area and increased the quantity of mediocre multi-purpose poem output by 47%. Without any statistically significant increase in quality. Times were good for the poem industry and its industrious workers. But this morning, for reasons as yet unknown, things took a turn for the bratwurst. Right now, all we know is that the metaphor mixer malfunctioned, yielding metaphors well above acceptable purity levels. The poem production system was not designed to withstand this kind of artistic improvement. And the machinery failures cascaded catastrophically, starting with the top of the line Mephistopheles 9000. The spring fell out of the sprung rhythm onto the shop floor. The the amphibrach broke, the enjambment jammed, the anacrusis encrusted, and the kenning ceased to ken. The employee nearest the delivery dock, who operated the meter, observed... observed the assembly line moving as slow as molasses, and immediately knew something was afoot. Wait a minute, he said, I am quite certain even our sweetest poems contain no molasses. And he drove off in one of the delivery trochees, a converted Nissan Stanza. Moments before the factory's structural concrete verses shattered and splattered across the shop floor. If only his coworkers. Thank you. If only his coworkers had had the good Cestina to do limerick-wise, perhaps more of them would be alliterived to double dactyl. In this time of grief, we are left with many questions. Could the tragedy have been averted? What caused poem quality to rise so dangerously high? What's molasses mean, anyway? We may never have satisfactory answers to these questions. Even so, we must honor the memory of those who died so that ordinary poetry might live. I ask each of you now to recall a particularly empty cliché, a tenuous metaphor, a tenuous rhyme, a repeated adjective. A breath taken between lines where there were no intervening punctuation marks. Or to conjure a new and inelegant turn. Just something to recall the eminently inimitable style of those who are now gone from us. We will now observe a moment of silence for the deceased poem laborers.